All right, I would like to next call up a couple of folks from the Boston Museum of Science. We have Chris Brown, and I think there may be another person or two here with him, and they're going to talk a little bit about a study or an exhibit that the Museum of Science is doing that relates to coding, C-O-D-I-N-G, and they want to talk about how that may relate to us as folks who are blind.
We've brought a couple of prototypes here today. They're really preliminary prototypes. They're very, very early for a new exhibit that we're working on, and we're really hoping to get some feedback from you. We really want to get your input from the beginning of this process so that we can improve the activity so that it's easy to be used by both sighted and non-sighted visitors. Any constructive criticism is really, really helpful and will enable us to improve. It's really great if you can tell us what you like and don't like about the activity, and also tell us why something works for you or why it isn't working. My colleague Megan here is from our research and evaluation department, and she's here to take notes about your feedback. She's not writing down anyone's names so that the feedback is anonymous, but if you prefer not to have any of your comments recorded or not written down, then just please let me or Megan know. We have a touch screen that basically we have two different types of tactile interfaces to try and see what you think about them. And then we also have some block interfaces that we wanted to get some feedback on. This programming interface that we're trying to develop, it's for an exhibit about robots. So you're trying to program different robots in the activity. The robots are all on like a tabletop. In kind of an arena, and you're trying to get the robots to move around the arena. And the robots have different capabilities, like they can turn on a light, they can play a sound, they can move a poseable arm as they try and do different things to accomplish a certain challenge. And we haven't figured out what all the challenges are, but that kind of gives you some idea of what are the things that you might control. It's like the lights on the robot, the sounds on the robot, and how the robot moves. Now, for the challenges, there's some type of reward if you actually accomplish a challenge. And in some cases, it can be really helpful to work with other groups. And if you work with other people, you might get a bigger reward for accomplishing the challenge. And what you're programming, you might have to do things in different order, like maybe sometimes you need to turn the light on and then play a sound to make the challenge succeed, as opposed to just playing the sound twice. And so the interfaces that we're looking at, like I said, there's it's two main categories. One which uses a touch screen and has a plastic film over it that's tactile, and then another interface which uses blocks. Physical blocks, so you can change the value of different parameters on the block. And then also, I guess the other thing is that the very first thing that we're going to look at is a tactile programming interface on the touch screen. And so it has a plastic kind of overlay on it. There's actually two different models that we brought with us. One of them has tactile circular dots, and the other one has oblong grooves. And other than that, the layout of them is pretty much the same. It's just those two pieces are slightly different. The first overlay, at the very top, there are two tactile lines that go across, and they go across horizontally. They're rows for you to put the programming code on. The code reads from left to right, and you fill in the blocks starting from the line at the top, going from left to right, so they kind of fill in order. It also has seven dots along each line to indicate where the slots are that the programming pieces will fit into. At the very far left of the top, there's also a tactile kind of squiggly-shaped symbol that signifies the beginning of the programming code. So that's on the very first line to tell you where all your code will start.
There will be like an audio script, right? And this is an exhibit at the museum.
Yeah.
A kiosk or something.
Yes, it's like a kiosk. What do you mean by like an audio script?
I mean, how are people going, if you can't see the thing, how are we going to know what we do?
I think most exhibits have a hear phone, and then you can press play, and it will give you instructions about the activity. So that's kind of just what I have is a script that's similar to that that describes the screen layout and tells you what to do with the activity.
Well, for, you know, for example, you were saying earlier that to accomplish some challenges, you have to turn a light on before you did something else.
Right.
You better, you have to have some indication that the light's turned on, because for those of us who don't see light,
right,
that wouldn't work.
I guess we tried to break down the problem into two parts. The first part is how do you write a program, and how do you actually just be able to put blocks into place into the order that you want. And then there's a second part of the problem of how do you actually get feedback from the activity that you're using. How do you actually know what the robot is doing? And so right now we're focused on the problem of how do you actually tell the robot what to do first. Can we even come up with a way for you to put blocks together?
Mika, are you interested in going up?
I can give it a try.
Yeah, let's have Mika go up, and we can just kind of walk through this vicariously with him.
So it looks like a big monitor, basically, that's mounted on a desk.
Yep.
Kind of tilted.
Normally we put these into cabinets, but we don't have one prepared. We don't know exactly what the physical piece will look like. But the thing that we're interested in is if you feel the screen, you should feel some raised and some cut-in areas.
Yeah, so there's what looks like a plastic film on the screen with some areas that are cut out and indented. So, for instance, there's a circle where the plastic overlay is cut, so there's a circle kind of cut into the screen toward the bottom. And then also, there's the horizontal lines that he was talking about, at least one, and there's little divots along the line. So it's like a plastic piece that's on the screen, but these little divots on the horizontal line going from left to right. And actually there's two lines, one on top of another, slightly offset. They're not the exact same length, but.
Okay, and there should be seven dots on each line.
Yeah, I guess it depends if you count the one on the end. But.
So the line that you're on right now is the very top line, and on the very far left, there should be a piece that is not a circle, it's some other shape. It's like a squiggly shape is the very first one. And then
and
after
then there are seven sort of round, very small.
So the very first one, the squiggly one, should be where the code is supposed to start. And then the dots are where you would drag code into, if that makes sense. Like they're kind of like slots that you would put pieces of code into.
Okay, open slots.
Yeah, and then if you, move your hand down the screen a little bit, there should be another line.
Yep.
And that one should have seven dots. And then on the very far right, there should be like an arrow or a triangle. And that indicates a spot where you can press to play your code to make it run on the robot.
Okay.
And then if you move your hand down again, there should be a whole bunch of empty space. But then periodically there should be cut-ins with different shapes.
Yep.
And there should be four cut-ins.
Yep, there are.
And then on the far left, starting from the far left cut-in, that one is should be a diamond shape. And that indicates a piece which tells the robot to go to a certain challenge. So maybe we want to go to like a certain place on the board or another place on the board.
Okay.
And then if you move your hand up to the right along the way, there should be another cut-in that's a circle shape that indicates that's the piece for making the light turn on and off on the robot, and you can change how long it turns on and off. Up to the right again, there's another cut-in that's a plus shape or a cross shape, and that's supposed to indicate audio, a piece that will play back sound on the robot. So and change how long the sound gets played back for.
The length of sound.
Yep. And then the very last one is kind of like a right angle cut-in. It has a vertical cut-in, and then at the top, a horizontal cut-in, kind of like an upside-down L. And that one's supposed to indicate a piece that lets you change the pose of the arm on the robot.
Okay. So I'd say, too, it looks like you would have enough space here to put Braille and large print underneath these labels.
Okay.
So you could put, you could probably have enough room, you could write light, audio, and arm, and then that would be a good for people that read Braille or to read large print.
Providing an audio description by itself of that layout is not enough.
It's just better.
It's better to have the Braille.
To have the Braille too.
Okay.
You know, some people don't use it, some people won't, but it's, some people might learn it better to have the Braille or even both, you know, having both.
Okay, so both is really good. With the layout of the activity, the interaction that we're trying to do is to have you drag, for example, a block from the bottom. So your hand's right now on the circular piece for the light. So to drag the first piece in, you would move your finger from that circle where the light is and drag it to the dot on the very top line, or the very first dot on the top line. So, now, I don't have the program connected, but if I connect it, maybe that will, if you try to do that, if you try to do that, you can see how that feels and if that works. So that snapped in, and
and now I can play it.
Currently, the playback doesn't work.
Okay.
How about I have you try to drag in the audio piece to the second slot. So that went into place.
So it might be good when you sort of drag and hold.
Yeah.
Like let's say you press to drag the audio. It could say like audio in drag mode or draggable or something.
Yeah.
And then when you paste it, it could say like audio in position two.
Yeah.
Okay. Line one, position two.
Yeah.
So basically you're saying to use audio to narrate everything that's happening.
What you're doing.
Yeah, exactly what you're doing. So like
right. You wouldn't know now what you did other than you telling me that it worked.
Right, right.
Otherwise you have to stay with this machine 24 hours a day, 365 and narrate it.
So maybe let's practice that, like what if I try to narrate what you're doing.
Okay.
And you can tell me if that's helpful.
Okay. So I'll do the one moving the arm to the third.
Okay, so robot arm dragging line one slot three. Attached to line one slot three.
Yeah, like, or you want to say robot arm.
Robot arm attached to line one slot three.
And so then as you touch these, you know, it should say
what they are.
The light is here in position one, the audio. And then I'd be curious like how to take it out. Like maybe there's a gesture if you want to get, you know.
Like what if you put it in the wrong place?
Right. Right now the software currently, as you touch a location, it automatically picks up that piece to try and move it. So as you drag, it's already picking up pieces. So I think what you're saying is you want us to keep the pieces locked in as you move your hand along the surface.
Yeah, because you may want to review what you have.
Right.
And review it here in addition to reviewing by pressing the play button may actually activate the rope, not just read it, but activate it.
Right.
Maybe by default you're reviewing it, but then there's another mode where you can actually move or delete them. I mean, I would think too, if you grab one of these up to a position where something else is already there, it could prompt you and say you want to replace it, that something's already in this, you know. So there may need to be gesture, you know, a common gesture where you say yes or no. You know, maybe swiping your hand left to right is yes, and right to left, or something like that.
Would you say if you dragged a piece into a location that already has a piece. Mm-hmm. What if that piece just moves over?
I guess as long as it announces it.
As long as it announces it. Like if you were to drag in the first spot, if there was a light and you were to drag the sound block into the very first spot, then maybe it would say replacing light at line one, slot one
with sound. Yeah.
Okay.
And then how to delete one too, you know, or how do you reset it to the beginning? You know,
yeah.
If you want to start over.
Currently, the way that we've been doing delete is that you would go to one of the slots and you would drag the piece down to the bottom of the screen.
Just anywhere, or
anywhere on the bottom, basically we kind of use the area that has all the four pieces on the bottom. It's like a toolbar, and anything within that area that we drag back gets deleted. Right now there's not a piece in slot one, but there's a piece in slot two that you could drag down.
I just wouldn't be sure how far, like, to drag it to, like, here or even a bit lower.
Right. So, what would be a...
A sound, maybe?
But you're looking for how, for where to, some sort of indication to know how far to drag it, right?
To delete it, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's a big, you know, it could be to right here where the bottom starts, or maybe it's a bit lower.
So maybe there's a specific spot on the screen? That is for trash can to delete?
Yeah, that. And then again, you're, as long as they have the, I like prefer the Braille labels, you know, and I think you have enough room with this one to do it.
We have another piece of plastic film that has grooves in it. It's kind of, it's the same layout, but instead of dots, there's grooves.
Oh, go for it, Mika, go for it.
As you're interacting with different devices, do they normally allow for multi-touch? Like, sometimes we talk about having people use one touch screen and have more than one person using it. But if we're narrating all the actions that are happening, would it be confusing to...
I think that would be too confusing to have multiple people using the same device at once.
And it's also, other than on a phone, it's kind of a new thing to be using a touch screen. You know, most other kiosks have like a button or a keypad. You know, like an ATM, or it's not that common. That would be wild to see, like a touch. I mean, I guess it would be an assignment.
In terms of the narration, probably it would make the most sense to make sure that we're only narrating one selection or one person.
I would at least.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
How would you know then, you know, if I'm doing something and you're doing something? You know?
I just have a question about, in terms of how this one feels, can you just...
He put a new overlay, Jerry.
Okay. Hold it because here the pieces are, they're coming off of the screen and not cutting on the bottom.
Okay.
And then if you move up to the lines, there are these little grooves cutting instead of dots.
This might be a little bit better. The actual items, like the audio, the light, the movement, are kind of raised objects instead of cut-in objects.
Yeah.
And then, you know, these feel more like slots. So
okay.
It, you know, it feels like something where you would grab something.
Okay.
And I guess which one was the play button?
Yes.
So maybe that one would be raised.
Okay.
You know, because that's like an action or.
Okay. So kind of like these landmark pieces that are like indications of buttons or the piece that you can drag should be raised, but where you can drag them into should be cut
as a recess.
As
yeah.
a recess.
And then this one, I think you could still click over to it.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
I did something, I think some of us have done similar type of exercises at the Museum of Science where we come in one-on-one. I remember doing a kiosk about wind properties or something.
Oh, yes.
And that was very interesting, but that had to really be one-on-one for like an hour.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you, Chris and
thank
Megan.
You so much.